Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Clay Stafford is an American best-selling and award-winning author, poet, screenwriter, and playwright, film and television producer, director, showrunner, actor, book and film and stage reviewer, and public speaker. He sold nearly 4 million copies of his books. His work has been distributed in 16 languages, and he's spoken as a master of ceremony to over 1 million people live. Publishers Weekly named Clay one of the top 10 Nashville literary leaders, playing an essential role in defining which books become bestsellers, not only in Middle Tennessee, but also extending beyond the city limits and into the nation's book culture. He's the founder of Killer Nashville and Killer Nashville Magazine, previously associated with Universal Studios and PBS, currently CEO of American Blackguard, Inc. near Nashville, and writer-in-residence and creative writing instructor at Battleground Academy in Franklin, Tennessee. Clay is the founder, CEO, and president of the premier international writers' conference, Killer Nashville, voted among the best writing conferences in the USA, an all-things crime writing conference, incorporating mystery, thriller, and suspense elements, and the 15th annual Killer Nashville International Writers' Conference will be held August 19th through 22nd in Franklin, Tennessee. And the founder of the conference, author, publisher, screenwriter, Clay Stafford, joining us on This Week in America. Clay, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Rick, thanks so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. So much to talk about on the program today. And we want to focus on the writing conference. This has become a major international event. Let's go back a little over 15 years ago, find out the inspiration for the conference. And legend has it, you walked in from work one afternoon and said to your wife, "I think I'm going to start an international mystery, thriller, and suspense conference." Did it happen that way?
It happened that way, my wife's chagrin. And she was like, "What?" And I said, she said, "When is it going to, when are you planning on doing this?" And I said, "In 2 months." And so she was in complete shock, but yet she lives with me, as you can tell from, I think in a previous generation, I might have been diagnosed with something because my attention span is about, you know, the length of an inchworm. And so I tend to get ideas and take off with things. And basically, I don't think she was very surprised when I came in and said that. But on the flip side, yes, it was a pivotal moment.
Why did you decide there was a need for that? What was it about taking these three different elements that we talked about there? You've got mystery, suspense, crime, and doing a writer's conference. Well, why was it that you thought you needed to do this?
You know, there really wasn't anything at the time in this area, and I had started a local conference as well. I've had a long time in education, and as a matter of fact, even in the 11th grade, I was given the opportunity by one of the speech classes to do a 6-week presentation to the class, like as, you know, an adjunct teacher or something, on the history of theater in Great Britain. And so I have had a love of education my whole life, and actually went back to school to get my graduate degrees because I was wanting to teach on the college level, which I was able to do so. And then later designed a program at Miami-Dade for training their film students and did the curriculum for that. And so there's this long history of education and giving back. And you have to understand from whence I came, which was more like a very rural Appalachian background. And the opportunities that I've had in my life to work with the people that I have worked with are things that I would have never dreamed about as I was walking, you know, down railroad tracks as a young man. And so the whole idea of giving back and the whole idea of hearing voices, I come from that Appalachian background where stories are vital and, you know, very important and transforming. And so I really, really, really love stories. I love storytellers. And so I decided that it was, you know, 15 years ago. It's amazing the changes that take place. But you and I briefly talked earlier, but the changes in technology. And so amazing. Suddenly it's not a need to have like the local thing. You can have an international thing because with the web, you can reach around the globe. So it just seemed to me the natural progression that we should have an international writers conference. Well, and so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and you pulled it off. That's what's amazing. This has become in 15 years, which is not a lot of years to be doing this premier international event. Let's talk about that briefly for that first year. I understand what attendance was well into the tens when you had that first year, and from there you've grown and people all over the world coming. How were you able to continue to and still able to grow this conference?
You know, and I think that everybody has, I think, or should, I would hope, have a charity that they believe in, and writers and the voice of writers is really something that is dear to my heart. And like I said, it goes back to people reaching down to me to give me an opportunity. So I thought, what a wonderful opportunity, since I've worked with people, and I'm, you know, here's dating me. My Rolodex is full of phone numbers. I can, you remember them.
I have one. And, I have one on my desk. I dust it off occasionally because I don't reuse it, but I still have it on my desk and my manual typewriter as well.
Exactly. So those are sentimental things, but I thought, you know, I have access to these people and they are giving and wonderful people. What if we just gave back, you know? So I called a bunch of my friends and said, this is an idea I've got. It's pie in the sky and it's last minute, but is it something you guys would like to be a part of? And the response was overwhelming, and it sort of set the tone for the rest, you know, for the next 15 years. Of people coming in who really have a desire to give back to writers and help the new generation of writers. And let's clarify what that is. It doesn't have to do with age. It's entry into the field. So we have, you know, people who are retirees as well as people who are college students. They're mixed together, but they're both at the same stage starting off. So we have these people who come in and are willing from the very start to pass out business cards and to set up a long-term relationship, a mentoring relationship with the people who attend the conference. And it's just worked out beautifully as far as I'm concerned. So that was really my hope. And the credit belongs, I think, to all the people who have given so much in order to make it successful.
Clay Stafford, our guest on This Week in America. He is the CEO and founder of KillerNashville.com, Killer Nashville International Writers Conference, August 19th through 22nd this year in Franklin, Tennessee, the 15th anniversary. And you've talked about education. This really is an extension of that, isn't it? And you've got, what's amazing, fans attend, you've got established writers, you've got aspiring writers. This really is an educational process for everybody.
It is. It absolutely is. And we've had some, and I'm not, you know, I don't need to name names, but we've had some New York Times bestselling authors who have come back every year, to take our marketing classes, because as you and I both know, the marketing has changed tremendously from when you and I started in this industry. And so constantly every year there are new platforms and new programs and new apps and new ways to reach people. And so we've had people who are well established in their career come and just take the marketing track. And some of those have been previous guests of honor. So they came as a guest of honor and then they've come back on their own years, you know, in the following years in order to take advantage of that. So it's a wonderful learning environment for everybody from the people who are beginning all the way through established authors who just want to take their career to the next level.
What's impressive is you read the comments from those who have attended all the conferences over the years, and they all refer to this as intimate. So if I'm there and I'd like to get information from an agent, for example, I'd like to get some business background. It's not like you're sitting in a room with 3,000 people taking notes. There's an intimacy level, isn't there?
There is. And we have five sessions running concurrently. At the same time, we have private sessions that are set up between attendees and agents and editors, for example. So pretty much everyone is divided out. But by the time you get finished walking the 4 days in this very, we take over the embassy suites. So it's entirely, you know, the people who are there are pretty much all related to our conference, and they're all mingling. They all have breakfast, lunch, dinner together. They have, they pass in the hallway. They have these smaller sessions. It's divided up into the different tracks for the smaller sessions, so each can get to know each other. And so it's more, we really is, we try to make it a family feel. And I think that, again, credit to all the people who are there and giving, that we've pulled it off.
The website, again, is killernashville.com. It's very well laid out. It will answer all of your questions, give you all of the information. The founder, Clay Stafford, is with us on the program. You have over 60 panel workshop sessions there, ranging a variety of topics, and just discussing a couple of those. One I love is the mock crime scene. And this is like with real law enforcement people there, and you really learn about the forensic aspect and in writing and how to relay that accurately to the readers. Talk about that workshop. What we're going to see the crime scene.
It's kind of funny. We had some, everybody's got miscellaneous cash, anytime you have a front desk.
Yes.
So we had it laying out, and someone said, aren't you worried about the money just laying out here? And I said, absolutely not. There are more hidden guns in this conference than you could possibly imagine. This is probably the safest place on earth right now. But I call them the alphabets. We have people come from the CIA, the FBI, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, numerous immigration, just different things that are topical for mystery, thriller, and suspense writers right now. And we have those people there to answer questions and make sure that they portray law enforcement in an accurate way. And one of the things that we do to try to help attendees feel what it feels like to be an investigator is have this mock crime scene. And when we started back in 2006, I had contacted the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, and they connected me with Dan Royce, who worked his way up during that time to be second in command of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. And every year he put together a mock crime scene, which basically you walked in and saw a body, and the evidence was around the room, and you had to try to come up with who solved who committed the crime and the why the crime was committed. And it's one of our most popular things, and some of them get pretty gory. I remember one year Dan had it so that it looked like somebody had blown someone's head off, and I never knew macaroni and cheese stained, kind of reddish, could look so much like brains, but lo and behold, it can. And another time, it was so realistic that some of the guests walked by in the hotel, and we learned later, we need to put this in a spot where people, passerbys don't see it, because there was a dead man laying in the middle of a conference room, blood coming out his back, and people walked by and called 911. So then we had to explain to the officers and the paramedics that this was a crime.
That's realistic.
Of course, it's very realistic, but upon examination of the body, they realized that, this fellow is not a body at all. So he's a training tool. And so it's been a very fun thing. And the winner gets, a prize from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. They get a prize from Killer Nashville. They get discounted rates on coming back again. And there's no extra charge for any of that. It's just fun for those who want to play the sleuth. And then, of course, the educational part comes afterwards, when you get to ask, how would you do this? How would you do that? And the investigators, the real life investigators from the TBI, then begin to explain everything and how the process works. And from that, the writers can take away what they need in order to do their own work.
Just one of the panels workshops going on at Killer Nashville International Writers Conference. That's August 19th through 22nd. Franklin, Tennessee, 15th anniversary. The website is killernashville.com. We're talking about it with the founder, Clay Stafford. We're back on today's This Week in America right after these messages. Welcome back. You're watching, listening to This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program. Clay Stafford is our guest today. He's an author, publisher, screenwriter, and founder of the conference, Killer Nashville International Writers Conference, August 19th through 22nd in Franklin, Tennessee, the 15th anniversary. You know, going through some of the workshops there, one that's interesting because you have writers of all levels. In fact, you have just fans that come because they really enjoy sort of behind the scenes of what goes into writing these particular genres. But you also have aspiring writers there as well as the established agent roundtable sessions. Talk about those, because what's the likelihood of finding an agent? How difficult is that, and how necessary is that?
Several parts of that question. The first is that we've had it's vital now to have an agent, because there are so many people who are writing. I joke that anyone who thinks they have some sort of word processing equipment thinks they are a writer, but it's
yes.
kind of like anybody who has a bunch of tuba fours thinks they're, you know, a housing contractor.
Yes.
So I think that sometimes it's oversimplified, and so there is a deluge. I mean, there are a million books, and I'm not exaggerating with a number, as you well know, there are a million books published every year. So that means every 2 years, there's 2 million books out there, like on Amazon, or you can get them through your local bookstore. And so how do you get through all of that? Because if you've got a million people who are publishing books, you've also got how many people who are still writing them, and the market has become so deluged that you've got to have somebody who is basically separating the good stuff from the not quite ready stuff. And so that's where the agent comes in. And it used to be a different role of working with the author. Now they've become, to some point, a clearinghouse for publishers, separating the good stuff from the things that aren't quite ready yet. So an agent is vital, and most publishing houses will not even look at anything over the transom anymore, where you just send it to an editor that you thought might be interested in your book. They won't open it. They'll send it back unopened. And so it's vital that you have an agent. So what we do is try to connect people with an agent so that they can get that next step in the door. And over the 4 days, you have an opportunity to build a relationship with the agents that we bring in, so that they get to know you not only as a writer who is, you know, desperately seeking someone to help them, which, you know, we all know that. We know that's what the writers are doing, and the agents know that's the mentality of where the writers are. But what you do is have an opportunity through these informal roundtables, through having meals with them, sitting with them during presentations, you're able to get to know the agent, and they are able to get to know you as a person. And so it's an opportunity. Most of the people who pitch at Killer Nashville get an opportunity to be read. They get their manuscripts requested because you normally, when people come to Killer Nashville who are, as you said, they're people who are beginning, they have an idea, they don't even know where to start. So those people are not going to be talking to an agent. The ones who come there to talk to an agent are ones who have a manuscript, you know, in their briefcase.
Right.
And so they're at a stage where they are ready to make the next step happen. So those are the people who are in the roundtable session, not the people who are just starting out with an idea.
All of this.
So
finish that thought. It's so important to be getting writers to get the word out there about their book.
Yeah. And so it's not always even just through that. We've had some wonderful experiences where people have just made deals in the hallway. And there was one person who went, and this is, I think, is a story that shows that you can expand to, expand your thinking as to where and when you're going to make things happen. That we had one author who was sort of depressed. She went through three different agents, and not anyone requested their work. And some people pitch really well, you know, and then other people are not the best at pitching. They're a little bit on the shy side, or they really don't know how to get their thoughts to, you know, be concise and present themselves on the best foot. So she was lamenting in the bar, which, I, you know, that's the stereotypical way the writer, you know, takes care of their life.
Yes,
in
yes.
The bar. And so another author came in and saw her looking rather dejected and sat down and said, what's going on? And so she said, I've pitched all these agents and it doesn't work at all. And the writer, and I think this goes to, you know, how this small, intimate family group is, the writer said, well, what's your book about? And so she told him, He said, it's a fantastic idea. I can't believe anybody wouldn't do it. He said, hang on a second. So he runs and gets his editor, who happens to be visiting as well, and they sit down at the bar, and he said, tell her the same thing you told me. So she starts to tell her the elevator pitch, and the other author said, no, tell her what you told me. And she did, and lo and behold, they got a contract right
fantastic.
There at the bar. Yeah, and so it's those kind of stories that make me happy. I have people who are one person who comes has a regular attendee. The first time she was there, she was sitting by herself during the opening night meet and greet. And I went over and I talked to her, and she had no clue who I was. And I sat down, and she said, are you a writer? And I said, yeah, I try to. It really depends on who you ask, how good of a writer I am. But I said, what's your story? And she said, I've got these dreams and stuff. And these people are real writers. I'm not a real writer. Well, I took her in and started introducing her around to some of the New York Times bestselling. And still, she had no clue who I was. That I was the founder of Killer Nashville, because it really wasn't about me, it's about her. So introduced her to everybody, and then she about 2 days later, I think it was Saturday, she came screaming. She was on an escalator up at the top, and she's screaming, Clay, 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 they want to see it, they want to see it. And she ended up getting publication after that. And so it's those kind of stories that, because I remember how that felt when I was a kid in the situation that I was in. I remember how that felt when there was you knew what you wanted to do, but there was no way to get there, and no possible way to get there, because you didn't know anybody. And to see the light in these people's faces that their dreams are within reach.
Yes.
Is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's the greatest charity in the world for me.
I want to talk, and hopefully we can do this again. Time is going by so quickly. Your background, and you've gone through all of the emotions new writers do, and you tackle writing, you tackle the business of writing, marketing, the forensics that we talked about, and for many people, it seems like they've written the book, and then it's sort of like, now what? You take them through the business aspect of that as well, don't you?
We do. Absolutely. And I think that's where, again, the diversity of the people who come to Killer Nashville. There's some people who are coming there to learn how to write. There are others who they've gotten the writing down. They just don't know what to do next. And so depending upon where they are in their particular level, we've got five running concurrent tracks, and each of them are divided up. One's the CSI one, one's for beginning writers, one's for publicity and marketing, for example, one's for, the business side, one's for, and so they're all divided up in their own particular things. And we have some people who come and just get on one track and just stay that way, but you can go from one track to the other if something is interesting. And we always record everything too, so it's available for everybody if they want. The early complaints was, there's so many good sessions, we're missing some of the things we want to do. There's like three things I want to go to at one time. And so we started recording everything and then letting everyone have those. And so everybody gets access to all that information.
And you have established writers that you've talked about that come back for a variety of reasons, in some cases just to give back like you do. I got about a minute here. Who are some of the keynote speakers? You sort of can judge the success of a conference by the people they attract, in this case, keynote speakers. You've got three top-notch speakers this year.
Yes, we do. We've got Lisa Black. All of these are New York Times bestselling authors. We've got Lisa Black is one of our guests of honor. She writes the some CSI mysteries and thrillers. We've got J.T. Ellison, who's had a wonderful career trajectory and knows what it's like to go from nothing straight to the New York Times bestselling list. And then we've got Walter Mosley.
Oh, yes.
Coming up, and I am a wonderful fan of Walter's. He's been around, and he's just a legend, and he's getting our John Singenthaler Legends Award this year. And so those are just three of our top-notch people who are coming. I haven't looked to see who, in terms of off the transom, who's showing up, but I'm sure you will find many award winning. I mean, we've got national horror, writers winners. We've got certainly Edgar Winter winners. Edgar Winter.
Yes.
No, we've got Edgar Winter coming. He's going to be playing
in the Lounge,
of course.
Yes.
But no.
Well, and you get to go to Nashville too, the Nashville area. So this is fantastic.
It's wonderful. And we're 15 minutes from downtown Nashville. So if perfect. That's your thing that you like to do, you know, all you got to do is just hop on a shuttle, hop in a cab, or if you rent a car, you can take that, but you don't have to have your own car. And then we're also set in historic downtown, close to downtown Franklin, which was established in 1799, and of course the site of a famous Civil War battle that was almost a turning point in the Civil War itself. And so, but it's a beautiful, quaint town. It has been refurbished to look exactly like it looked, 100 years ago. And as a matter of fact, they do a lot of film shoots here. They bring in dirt and sand and put on the streets, and then ride horse and buggies through as they film those, because it really just looked like a beautiful town from many, many years ago.
Here's a chance
there's a lot of stuff that you can do. Some people come here as a family. And, we've got two professional golf courses here, PGA. And so, there's some kayaking down the Harpeth River. And so there's a lot of stuff that families do together. And some people come and stay for the 4 days of the event and then stay an extra 2 or 3 days and just do family stuff with Nashville and Franklin area.
Yeah, since you're there, it makes a lot of sense. And I know you're very aware of COVID-19, but the guidelines last year, you lost the conference because of COVID-19, and you'll be following all the guidelines. So if people are concerned about, social distancing, this type of thing, you're following all the guidelines.
Absolutely. There's things that are changing, and the hotel has been wonderful. They've been doing events now again, and the spacing obviously is changed, and the layout of how we do things has changed. And I don't want to say I'm a germaphobe, but if I show up, that I'm pretty confident.
Okay. That, yes.
So I have grilled the hotel over and over. How are we going to make sure, in this age? And luckily we're turning a corner, what month are we in? We're in April.
Yep, and we're looking at August, so hopefully things will.
So hopefully things will get much better. But we err on the side of very conservative in terms of protecting our guests. And you understand too that we've got retirees who are there who are wanting to be riders, and there's no possible way that I could live with myself if I thought I was even remotely putting anybody in any kind of danger. So the hotel has been wonderful in terms of how we're changing food service, how we're changing the way people sit in the rooms, how they interact with each other in the open spaces. And so they've got an incredible plan in place that's actually, I think safer than what the general consensus, in the state, is prescribing. So we are being very proactive in making sure that everybody who comes to Killer Nashville is safe and they leave safely as well.
You'll find all of this at the website, killernashville.com. By the way, Clay's website is claystafford.com and claystaffordbooks.com. We're talking about the Killer Nashville International Writers Conference, August 19th through 22nd this year in Franklin, Tennessee. 15th anniversary. Information on the website on everything that we've talked about there. Success stories, you'll find those on there. You want to buy some gear before you go there, a hat, a t-shirt, whatever, you'll find that on there. The website is very easy to browse through, get all the information you need. They also have information on conference scholarships, all of that available at the website. Again, killernashville.com. Clay, this has been fun. The time's gone by so quickly. Love it to come back. There's so much more to talk about in your career and helping people get started. You've been there at an educational level. You've been there with a success level. What's starting selling your first story at age 10? That's a story for the next program, but I'm anxious to hear that as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Rick, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for all that you do as well.
You're welcome, and it's been a pleasure, and all the information available at killernashville.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to all of Clay's website and get information. You're listening to This Week in America, back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.